This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus at 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, new grandmother.
That's right.
Fried baby there of 8.9 pounds. That's wonderful.
Had a big boy, maybe another football player.
Well, it could be. Well, I tell you what, this youngin' is going to be brought into a world that is certainly a lot different than what you and I grew up with.
Yes.
And it's our hope that we can keep it from going too much further in the wrong direction. Okay.
Yes.
Which sort of leads me to something. You know, I always go through my normal, hi, Lori, how you doing? It's a great day, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I mean, you think about every week we do this show, there is so much that we have to deal with. Okay. And the argument that I'm going to make this morning, and I'm going to try to examine this a little bit in more detail in some of the specific issues we're dealing with, is that when you look back at Clower and Piven, and these are two academics from New York who essentially postulated that if you push the system hard enough and overwhelm it, it will break down. And that whole idea is part and parcel of what I think has been a major component of the strategy of the left, okay? And as we see these issues every week at something else, it's part of this demoralization and trying to push the opposition into an acceptance position, a fetal position. Oh, no, I don't want any more. I can't deal with it anymore. We can't let that happen. And I do think that the Tea Party growth in 2010 was a manifestation of a adverse reaction to all the stupid stuff going on. It started with Obama and the Obamacare, and it morphed into a whole lot more. And I think that Trump really became the manifestation of the whole idea that MAGA was the solution to all of these problems in terms of making sure that the system was working the way the American system was supposed to work. Growth and economic prosperity for all. And the fact that we're not dealing with a president who has that outlook, actually Biden is falling right into the same old trap, and I think that it's not an accident. It's by design. And you know, and we've talked about this in terms of, well, look at what happened with Afghanistan. It was too stupid to be stupid. Okay? The border is too stupid to be stupid. These people have planned this stuff out. They want to execute the kinds of policies that demoralize, that hurt, and have their own agenda for, say, things like the border, which we've talked about. How can they continue to break the law and get away with it? And, you know, what's the ulterior motive behind this? Is it just to be breaking the law, or is it something else? And it is something else, is to get all of these people into the United States, get them to be citizens, so that they will have a built-in advantage in voting forever and ever. And so my point today on this show is to try to take some of those issues nationally and put them within the framework of this Clower Pivot business, and just kind of give everyone a sense that all of these things that are happening by design. They're not happenstance, okay? And I think that we need to be guarding ourselves, you know, with a little bit more intensity and a little bit more understanding so that we can step up to the plate and defeat these things as they come on to us, okay? And, of course, that means we've got to take back Congress, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
Okay. Do we have anyone calling in?
No call-ins today.
Okay. All right.
No,
so
we're good.
Class has begun.
Class has begun.
Please
there you
listen.
Go.
Pencils
Lori,
up.
Take notes here. All right. Okay, so before I do anything about our national questions here, I did want to take some time to look at some of the state issues. And I know that we've had, like last week, Stephanie Dernan was on talking about the vaccine issue. And we have the redistricting issue that we know about. And I also want to talk a little bit about what happened with the lack of any movement on Common Core on the part of Governor Ivey. Okay, so let's go first of all to the vaccine issues, all right? Stephanie Dernan in Health Freedom Alabama had a bill, HB 31, which started off as HB 31, ended up as HB 9 when the special session started, okay? The terminology isn't, don't get hung up on that. The bill itself, HB 31, is going to be reintroduced in January when the legislature resumes its normal business, okay? So the real question you have to ask yourself is, you know, the bill that was passed, Senate to Elliott's bill, SB 9, really essentially does not give you, the citizen, the rights that you should have to be free from discrimination against vaccine mandates, okay? And this is a classic issue, okay? On the one hand, you have the freedom of the individual, you and me, to do what we want to do with our bodies as far as medical issues goes, okay? On the other hand, you have businesses who, and if the business owner wants to go forward with vaccine mandates, then he has every right to do that. Okay, so there's the framework for this problem, okay? And I'll be honest with you, conservatives have taken both positions. So if the conservative movement is split on this issue, where do we as citizens watching what's going on come down on it? And I have to say that I believe that discrimination on the basis of vaccines is absolutely wrong. It's unconstitutional. And so the fact that SB 9, which Senator Elliott was able to put through, and you have to give him some credit for putting something through, at least they did, and I don't deny that something is better than nothing, but the something becomes more of a burden for the citizen to be able to protect him or herself from the vaccine mandates that are out there. And again, we've seen people who have already lost their jobs. So what this SB 9 is going to do is that basically, if Lori, who I'm working for today, says, Lou, you've got to have your vaccine mandate, and I say, well, no, Lori, I'm sorry, that's not going to work for me, then I have a right to have her give me a form, which I fill out, and it goes to the State Department of Labor. And therein, it will be processed for by a judge. So in a 30-day period, my whole livelihood, or in this particular case, my radiohood, is going to be in the hands of a judge. So I may win, I may not win. If I have religious issues with the vaccine, then it seems to me that why should I have to go to some third-party judge to get, you know, get myself protected along these lines?
Lori has a question. Didn't his bill provide other reasons other than the religious exemption?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
exemption
he did.
Of why yeah, you didn't yeah, have to, yes. But it still has
again,
to go through a judge.
Medical reasons and things like that. Yes, it's very rational as far as that goes, okay? But once again, and here again, there's real-life people that we have been meeting with. This one individual, this lady works for the government, and they have told her, you have, I think it's December 8th is the deadline, you have to get the vaccine or you're not going to be employed here because you are a threat to the workplace. I mean, that's what she was told. And her doctor is telling her, if you take the shot, you're liable to kill yourself. So it seems to me that in a situation like that with a medical exemption, that she has an inherent right to protect herself without having to go through a third-party judge to get, you know, some sort of protection. So I think that, and this is why I would argue that HB 31 should have been the vehicle by which the legislature protected our people, okay? But then you have to ask yourself, Well, Dr. Liu, if it was such a good bill, why didn't they pass it? And as with everything in the state legislature, you have to ask yourself, who was opposing it? And the first and most important answer to that is the Business Council of Alabama. Stephanie was up there listening to the Business Council of Alabama lobbyists berate, argue, yell at these legislators not to pass HB 31. Now, I mean, what does that tell you? It means that HB 31, which had constitutional protections for the individual from a business owner saying you have to get the vaccine mandate or be fired, and if he fires you, then you have the right to sue. Now, I know that...
That's the one that did not pass.
No, it didn't pass. But you see, the business council didn't want to do this. And remember, Senator Elliott was on the show, you know, about maybe 3 weeks ago. And he was talking about how he was concerned that that sort of approach, the sue them approach, would bring about, you know, a bounty to the trial lawyers.
Right.
I think that at some point you have to weigh the outcomes here in terms of, well, what's more important, protecting the constitutional rights against discrimination? Like, we protect the guy. I mean, look, you know, let's just say I'm working for you here and I'm your radio guy, and all of a sudden, you know, I feel like I'm discriminated against on the basis of race, on the basis of gender, okay? On the basis of religion. So what's the difference?
You have recourse there.
Yes,
why not with the vaccine?
Okay.
You got it.
There it is. And so I think that HB 31 really does provide a broader based protection, and it does not, you know, become a burden for the, well, it's a burden if you're fired and you sue. But the burden is that you have to go through the Labor Department and a judge and hope for the best. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. And I know that Stephanie and Health Freedom are going to push hard to have HB 31 passed in January. So we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about redistricting. Here you have a situation where, and let's understand this. Let's just put this into an historical context, okay? Redistricting has always been a political issue. There's no way you can get around it. In fact, John Sharp had a nice article in his Sunday column on the Press Register. So I urge you to take a look at it. In fact, I was going to try to have John Sharp come on, and I thought, if I get him on, I won't be able to talk about anything else. So I do want to mention some of these other national issues. So let's just talk about redistricting from the standpoint of history. Okay, we understand that it is political and that the political power in charge does take, you know, note of the fact that if it does its job, it's going to protect itself and the incumbents. And so the charge against what we do now is that it is not necessarily fair to everyone, okay? Now, here's the problem with trying to come up with solutions such as independent commissions. Tell me where you're going to find an independent person to draw lines that are going to impact on the political parties. I'm sorry, I just don't see independent individuals who are going to be able to stand there, you know, at 20,000 feet above the sea level here and have all of these decisions that are not going to be based on something other than total independence. I just don't see it. The degree to which so much of this is going to be subjective anyway really takes you down a rabbit hole in terms of trying to find an independent entity that will do this.
Districts are supposed to be designated based on population.
Yeah,
and getting the most even
right
piles of population represented fairly.
Right. Okay.
So who was in that selection process now that
Well, I mean, what you have, the Republicans are in control of it, so the House has a committee that was in, I think, Representative Pringle ran it in the House, and I'm not quite sure who it was in the Senate. It might have been Senator Alburton. I'm not positive. Okay, so, but at any rate, the process is along the lines of what you said. Okay, but population issues get to be difficult, and we saw that as one of the major questions that they were trying to deal with in Baldwin County, because we have grown so much. And I think as Senator Elliott and I talked about a while back, we were talking about how to deal with the population growth in Baldwin County. Well, the way they did it was they divided up Baldwin County. I mean, they took Spanish Fort and gave it to the district that Vivian Figures had been in control of for all these years. So they just dismembered Baldwin County and added it to Mobile County for political purposes. The question about why this redistricting map took chunks out of Baldwin County doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially when you see Baldwin County growing as it did and being a major player in this state's economy. I mean, one-third of the state budget comes from our tourist business. And, well, the other part, there is a portion that comes from Mobile and the shipping. But my argument here is we're sending $2 billion every year to the state. And so the political power that should be part and parcel of that, I would argue, is something that we needed to preserve. And yet, I just don't understand it. So my point here is that on the one hand, you have factors that are entirely subjective and political, okay? And then you have another set of factors that bring about questions about how to make sure that the black minority is represented. And so that's where you get gerrymandering in terms of making districts that are now capable of having black majorities so that you can send a black representative to Congress, okay? And I mean, in theory, I think that gerrymandering is not necessarily a good thing. But on the other hand, if, 25% of our population is black, then there should be representation, although in theory, color should not necessarily be the biggest factor in who represents you. The representative should be able to represent your interests regardless of color. So that's a theory. The reality is that we already have a gerrymandered system here in Alabama, and I think that's not going to change. So, boy, there's some noise outside.
I was going to say, when you completed your thought, that we do apologize for the background noise, but the Church Street Infrastructure Project in downtown Fairhope is directly in our front door and windows. So please forgive us for the
I'll
background noise.
I'll speak a little
noise.
Bit louder.
But may I bring up another issue? Baldwin County is predominantly Republican, correct?
Yeah.
Spanish Fort?
Right.
Predominantly Republican. And now they're
going to have... I know where your question is.
They're going to have a Democratic senator.
Yeah. So the question is, how did did our delegation of representative let this happen? And therein lies the political dynamics of the process.
Well, my first thought was, well, Spanish Fort is just right there. A hop and a jump across the bay. It's close to Mobile. But you're saying there's other nefarious reasons.
Well, I don't know how nefarious they are, but I think there were some people who had an interest in seeing Spanish Fort go somewhere else. So here we are. But again, I want to talk about one more thing before I get into national issues, so I'm running out of time. But I do think that redistricting, and to be honest with you, if y'all are interested in this, We're going to be talking about redistricting tonight at the at our Common Sense campaign meeting. We'll have the maps out there, put them on the, on a screen so we can look at them and have an explanation of all of this and what it means, okay? But the point is that Baldwin County just got screwed, friends and neighbors. I'm sorry. And our delegation did not do anything to fight it, which is just incomprehensible. But nevertheless, that's the reality, and I'm sure that we'll dig into this further. But I think that all of us need to pay attention to this and find out where we are with it, number one, so you have an exact idea of what we're talking about. And then secondly, what can we do to rectify this? The only real issue at this point, the only method really, is to sue in court. And there are some, I think the NAACP is suing in a couple of cases. So we'll see where that goes. But at any rate, I don't see this as a happy picture for Baldwin County. I really don't. Let's talk quickly about Governor Ivey and Common Core. Last week I told you that there were, quote, signals coming from Ivey's office that she was interested. Laura, you remember this, don't you? I did say this, that she was very interested after Quinn Hillier had written an article that was critical of Common Core. And the fact of the matter is that we are at the bottom in the NAEP scores at 52nd in math and 48th in English, excuse me, and PARCA, you know, the Public Affairs Research Council, they came out and said, among other things, that the eighth graders in Alabama, only 14% of them were proficient in math.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Okay, now you think that would be a wake-up call for the State Board of Education, but it ain't, because last week, on the 10th of November, they had another board meeting. The big expectation was, because the governor had signaled to her staff that she was interested in doing something, so there was a big fat nothing burger, not even discussed one GD minute. Yes. I shocked Lori there, but I didn't say the bad
careful,
words.
Careful.
But the point is, how is it that we are at the bottom? And I even heard Senator Elliott talking about this last week on the Jeff Poor Show. He mentioned how bad this math business is and that we've got to do something about it. And he's right. And the simple solution is that the State Board of Education could take care of this, but they do not do it. Once again, so all I'm telling you guys out there, we're not giving up on it. We are going to continue to press and see what we can do through the state board process. We have 4 votes against Common Core. We need the governor to be the 5th vote. We'll see how this goes. At the same time, we are going to be developing yet again another bill that will go to the legislature, and we'll see where it goes from there, because it dies every year. Every year in Terry Collins's Education Committee in the House. Every year.
Is there federal funding attached to the Common Core? Is that
to
one
a certain
reason
degree,
the state...
You're talking about maybe 10% of the money
okay.
that we may lose. But you know what? 10% is nothing compared to what we are losing. How can 14% of our Alabama 8th graders be proficient in math?
That's pitiful.
I mean, really. You know, so, all right, so now I am down to 6 minutes. Can I do it? And she says, yes, you've got an extra minute.
Normally you take a few extra.
I know.
I'll look the other way.
All right, so let's talk about some of these national issues. And again, frame this against this Cloward and Piven and their idea of chaos. Take a look at inflation. Okay, the historical experience with inflation is devastating. You can make the case that the Nazis excuse me, came to power in part as a result of the inflationary pressures associated with the Great Depression. You can certainly look closer at home down in Venezuela and see what happened there. Okay, inflation is something that you do not fool around with, because if it gets out of hand, It has the results that you've already seen historically and what's right down the road, so to speak, in Venezuela. All right? So how is it possible to think that inflation, which is now at a 30-year high, about 6.2% last month, and again, 6.2% doesn't sound like much, but when you think about how much more you're paying for gas, for meat, for other things like that, and you get the supply chain issue on top of it, well then, it's a serious issue, okay? So, typically, and again, think about this, Obama's former economist, Larry Summers, basically said back in March, we have got to be careful about inflation and you're putting too much money into the system. Therefore, he was not in favor of the infrastructure bill or the $3.6 trillion, now down to $1.9 trillion, Build Back Ready bill that Biden's trying to pass. So the argument then from Summers was, we can't put more money into the system. Well, why can't you do that? Because on the one hand, Biden already put $1.9 trillion into the COVID response money in March, okay? And Congress and Trump put more money back in December, if I'm not mistaken. So what you're having is an infusion of cash into the hands of people that now have lots of money to spend on goods, except you don't have all the goods there. So you've got more money chasing less goods. It's a classic setup for inflation. And that's exactly what you're starting to see right now. So I think that, and here again, why are the Democrats just infusing so much more money into the system? They know, I mean, Larry Summers is a Democrat. He's not stupid. He knows exactly what the problem is going to be. But you see what? The ideological wing of the Democrats, the AOCs, the BLMs, the Antifa people, they want inflation. They want the system to collapse. That's their goal. We need to stop it. And of course, the infrastructure bill that just passed is not an infrastructure bill. I mean, I've got a laundry list of things that I could read out if I had 10 minutes to do it. But, you know, how about just $110 billion for roads and bridges? That's traditional, you know, infrastructure. But you go down the line and see all the other things that they have for it, and it's just going to pump a lot more money into the system. And again, we're having supply chain issues. Now, is it possible that all those ships, that are container ships that are sitting off of Los Angeles and Long Beach, could alleviate the supply problem if they just got unloaded? You betcha. But are we seeing anything along those lines? Well, Biden went out there to the public and said, yes, we're taking care of it. We're going to go 24/7. That hasn't happened. There's no 24/7 approach there for a whole lot of different reasons. But nevertheless, the problem continues on the supply side. The problem continues on the supply side when you talk about the issue of jobs. Okay? So we've just heard another 500,000 people left the workforce, and so now we've got more demand for more people, truck drivers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All this means is that as the supply shrinks and the money supply grows, prices are going to go up. That's Econ 101. So they keep pumping more money in it. You have to ask yourself why. Okay? All right. Let's shift to my second issue, the border. Here again is a classic example of the system being overwhelmed. The Border Patrol can't handle it. Texas's Governor Abbott has finally stepped up to the plate, and he's got his own National Guard guarding the border. He's turned his police and state troopers and all the rest of them. They're doing what they can do to fix the gaps in the fence that Trump built. But my point here is, notice how the Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Everywhere you see it. And of course, on top of that, the Biden people are not following the law. They're forcing the Border Patrol people and ICE to let all of these people come in. We're now back to catch and release. So the system on the border is overwhelmed. They're pushing these people into the interior at the dead of night. And guess what? You know, these American cities, towns, are now having to deal with people who are infected with COVID. We know that, 20% of them, according to the stats that you keep hearing, 20% have COVID. Now, why is that important? Because the Democrats want the COVID issue to keep going on. With COVID, they can argue, as they did last year, oh, we can't have people showing up to the polls. They're going to get sick. They're going to die. Everybody gets a mail-in ballot. And you know the results of that. So the ulterior motive about the border has a two-part connection. One part is to obviously get these people in and create the chaos that overwhelms the border so that they can't do anything else but catch and release. And then the second one is to... Well, actually, there's three. The second one is, as I just mentioned, to create, you know, this wave that will continue the pandemic because we're putting COVID people into the interior. The third one is, as I mentioned earlier, this whole business of having, you know, we've got to change the culture. We've got to have more brown people voting. Well, here's a classic example of how we can do that. Wow, just turn them all loose, you know, get the Democratic majority in the Senate and the House to pass a new amnesty bill, and they get citizenship in XYZ years. That's the game plan, guys. So here again, go back to what I said at the beginning of this program. This issue about overwhelming the system is something that I think you have to take seriously. It's part of their game plan. The communists have had a long-term game plan to undermine this country. It never went anywhere because most of the American people understood it. But yet there's always been the small cells of communist agents, communist supporters, and now the socialist movement. And where you're going with it is the longer it continues with the breakdown of law and order, this movement against the police, all of those kinds of things are manifestations of the bigger picture. So when you take the border, you take inflation, you take law and order breaking down, all of those things are part and parcel of the big strategic game plan to bring this country to its knees, and we'll be begging for some sort of Marxist government to relieve us from all the pressure. This is the BS factor that we're dealing with the media and the supporters of what's going on. And all I can say is American citizens like us better stand up, wake up, and do what's necessary. And on that rather dismal note, actually, it's not dismal. We are coming back, and we kicked some booty back there last week in Virginia. So maybe we are awakening. We shall see. So keep in touch with good old WABF, 1480 on your dial, and listen to me every Monday morning. Thank you all. Lori, take care. God
Thank
bless.
You. Thank Bye. You, Dr. Liu. You can also listen to this program anytime at WABF1480.com. Go back and pull up programs that you may have missed. The Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, Mondays at 10:05 with Dr. Liu. The program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highway 98, and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. This is WABF, now resuming regular programming.